You ever got to the checkout counter and as they started scanning all of your items and you saw the amount going up and you thought, wow, I didn't think it was going to be that much. Have you been to the gas pump lately? You fill up your tank and did you underestimate how much it might cost you? Sometimes we underestimate things. Sometimes we underestimate people. Sometimes sports teams go into a game having underestimated their opponent, thinking, oh, this is going to be an easy game. You have pitchers and baseball players, oh, this is an easy out. And then the guy cranks one over the fence on you. Sometimes we underestimate players, we underestimate teams. And I want us to think about that in relationship to how do we view sin today? Is it possible that we underestimate sin? We talk about it. We know the word. We know what some sins are. But is it possible that we could be guilty of us underestimating sin and its power in this world, and more personally, its power in our lives? I want us to think about sin this morning and what we need to do about it. And I want us to have a very clear and frank study of what the Bible says about sin. It's not one of those topics that's fun to hear about. It'd be a whole lot better to come here and be able to talk about bubble gum and gum drops and all sorts of fun things that we enjoy. We don't want to sit here and talk about sin. But we don't need to be guilty of underestimating the power of sin in our lives. But what I want us to do this morning is not just look at sin, but I want us to make sure that we are not underestimating God and underestimating God and His power to help us to triumph over sin. See, today we're not just talking about what sin is and how we need to not underestimate it, but we need to make sure that we understand how God can help us to overcome it. When we come and study the Bible about triumphing over sin, first thing I want us to see this morning and understand is that the Bible describes sin as a disease. Do you know that? I mean, when you hear the word disease, does that strike you? We are concerned today about disease. We are surrounded today by disease. And when we hear about some epidemic of a disease, when we hear about some disease near us, we get concerned. Well, the Bible describes a disease that's far worse than any physical malady that any man has ever known. And that's what the Bible calls sin. In Psalm 41, David says to the Lord, "Heal me, O Lord, for I have sinned." Think about those words. David says, "I've sinned." And what word does he use? Not forgive. Heal me. Why? Because sin is a disease. When Isaiah prophesies to God's people who are leaving him, to the Jews who are turning their back on him, and as he warns them about the consequences of their actions, right in the very beginning of Isaiah's 66 chapter book, he says in chapter 1, describing what sin is, look in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 6 and see how graphic the description of sin is in that verse, where it describes sin, where he says, "I've got sin from the sole of my foot to the top of my head." He says, here's what sin is like for this nation. You've got sin from the sole of your foot to the top of your head, and it's like your body is bruised. It's like your body is wounded. It's like your body is full of sores, not physically, spiritually, because of their sins. And he says, you've got these wounds and these bruises, and you've got these open spores, and they're not bandaged. They're not covered. That's how God describes sin. This isn't something to take lightly. This isn't something to joke about. This isn't something to say, well, you know, it's not that big of a deal. This is a disease. And oftentimes the Bible describes for us the disease of leprosy in such graphic terms of a physical illness, perhaps to help us to understand how graphically God wants us to understand sin. Leprosy separated people, so does sin. Leprosy brought death, so does sin. Leprosy made a person unclean, so does sin. We need to understand the gravity of what this is, that it's a disease. We also need to understand that the Bible describes sin and says that it is deceptive. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13 talks about the deceitfulness of sin. How deceptive is sin? How often do you read in the New Testament where it says, be not deceived, be not deceived, be not deceived, don't be deceived? You read that throughout the New Testament where God tells His people, don't be deceived by sin. Why is that? Well, because sin is deceptive to the point where it can make something that's wrong look right. Now, how can something that's wrong be made to look right? That's what sin is. It's deceptive. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, there's a way that seems right. It's not right, but it seems right unto a man, but that way leads to death. What's wrong? It's sinful. It's deceptive. It looks like it's right, but it's not. Sin's deceptive because it makes something that's ugly look pretty. Now, how can it do that? How can something that's ugly be made to look beautiful? Be made to look attractive. Why did Eve eat of the fruit? Genesis 3 and verse 6 says, because when she saw it, it looked good. She knew she wasn't supposed to eat it. It was a sin, but it looked good. In 2 Peter chapter 2, the Bible describes sin, listen to this, like a dog that returns to his own vomit. That's how the Bible describes sin. And yet, what does the devil do with that? He makes it look good. He makes something ugly look attractive, to look beautiful. Sin is deceptive. It makes something that is slavery, that's what sin is, look like it's liberty. Here's sin, and it's enslaving, but the devil makes it look like you've got all sorts of freedom to do whatever you want to do. That's how deceptive sin is. Sin is deceptive. Because it takes something that is misery and it makes it look as satisfying. Why did the prodigal son want to go off to the far country? Because the grass is always greener on the other side. It always looks better over there, but what happened when he got over to the far country? Misery. He didn't see it before. All he saw was how satisfied he would be, but once he got over there and got a taste of it, oh, this isn't what I thought. Why wasn't it what he thought? Because sin is deceptive. It takes misery and makes it look good, makes it look satisfied, makes it look like something that I would want. And that's why Hebrews 11 talks about Moses and says he was not going to give in to the passing pleasures of sin. Moses saw beyond the deceptive nature of sin. Sin is deceptive because it takes death and makes it look like life. Now, how opposite are those two things? But that's how deceptive it is. It takes something that is death and brings death and makes it appear like, oh, this is going to bring life. Does this sound like something we need to take seriously? Does this sound like something we can just play with? Does this sound like, well, you know, it doesn't matter. If I sin, it's not that big. Wait a minute. Sin is a disease. The Bible says that sin is deceptive. The Bible says that sin is debilitating. Debilitating. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, depending on what translation you have, and you might check what your translation has in Hebrews 12 and verse 1. The Bible there talks about sin that so easily, the King James says, so easily besets us. New King James, I think, says so easily entangles us. Other translations talk about how this sin so easily besets us or entangles us or surrounds us or enslaves us. There's a lot of different translations to this one word. But it's a word that indicates that this is a sin that sets upon us, that encircles us, and just wraps us up. If you're wrapped up in sin, you've been debilitated. You have been weakened by it. You have been controlled by it. I want you to think about the nature of sin and how debilitating it is. Sometimes our sin is debilitating. Sometimes it's besetting because when we become a Christian, you know, when we become a Christian, we don't automatically lose all of those desires that we had before we were a Christian. Sometimes those temptations stay with us for a while, and they beset us, ensnare us, entangle us. Sometimes it's when we go to work or we go to school and we're around sin and we feel like we are just engulfed in it and we feel like it's going to overcome us. Sometimes it's because of the way we were raised and the homes we were raised in. Maybe we were just surrounded by it. And so when we become adults, we continue to be debilitated by this sin. You know, sin is something that will keep you from being who you need to be. That's how debilitating it is. Sin is something that will keep you from doing what you need to do. That's how debilitating it is. Sin is something that will keep you from going where you need to go. That's how debilitating it is. I don't know if any of you, and I know this is going to limit, I know it's going to limit this illustration. I don't know if any of you ever played Mario Brothers. Up at camp this past week, Gary mentioned that our theme was level up. And it was based upon leveling up in video games and going up the next level. I don't know if y'all ever played Super Mario Brothers, and I think it was in Super Mario Brothers. Somebody's going to correct me, I'm sure, afterwards if it wasn't. But I think it was in Super Mario Brothers, where you got this little character, and his name is Mario, and he's running along in the game. But I don't remember what it was, and I don't remember what level it was on, but somewhere along the way, he got some kind of fleas or bugs or some kind of critters that just started running all over him. Bobo, am I correct about this or not? Okay, never mind. I'm not going to trust Darren. So, but he got all of these things crawling all over his body to where he could not jump. That's the point I'm trying to make. Normally, Mario is known for jumping. He's this tall, but he can jump this high. And so, you know, his jump doesn't match his butt. But when he got covered by all of these things all over his body, he couldn't jump. He couldn't move. That's what sin does to us. Sin debilitates us to where we cannot do what we need to do. Is this something we need to play with? Is this something we need to take lightly, or is this something we need to do all that we can to eradicate it, to triumph over it in our lives? It's a disease. It's deceptive. It's debilitating. The Bible says that sin is destructive. This isn't something to play with. The Bible says that sin will destroy your body. Read the closing verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Where it talks about our body being the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you know any individuals' bodies who have been destroyed because they have been given over to a life of sin? Sin will destroy your family, will destroy your home. Do you know any homes, any marriages, any families that have been destroyed because of sin? That's how destructive it is. Sin will destroy our relationships. Sin will destroy a church, a congregation. If you don't believe it, read the book of 1 Corinthians. If you don't believe it, read the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, where churches, congregations are dealing with sin or being told to overcome the sin that's among them. And sin will destroy a nation. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34 says, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." You know what's wrong with America? You know what's wrong with America? Can I have your attention? Can I have everybody's attention? You know what's wrong with America? It's not the president. You know what's wrong with America? It's not the last president. You know what's wrong with America? It's not the president before him. You know what's wrong with America? It's a three-letter word. S-I-N. That's what's wrong with our nation. That's what's wrong with people. Why? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin is destructive. It's not something we can play with. It's not something that we can take lightly. The Bible says that sin is divisive. And we could talk about how it's divisive of your own life, divisive in homes, divisive in congregations. But sin is divisive in your relationship with God. And I'm going to put these next two points up here. Whoops. I'm going to put these next two points up here because they all go, these divisive and deadly go together. Sin is divisive because it will separate you from God on this earth. That's what sin does. James 4 and verse 4 says, "Friendship with the world," insert the word sin, "friendship with the world is enmity with God." You live in sin on this earth and you are an enemy of God, separated, divided from God. And if you don't fix that, you will be eternally separated from God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9 says, Matthew chapter 25, verse 46 says, these will go away into everlasting punishment. And coupled with that is how deadly sin is. Deadly means divisive. Death is separation. The body without the spirit, separated from the spirit, is dead. Death is separation. Sin is deadly because it brings about physical death. Sin brings about physical death. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, that's what Paul says, is that sin, because Adam sinned, he introduced sin into the world, and sin brought with it death. Brought physical death. Sin brings with it spiritual death. That's that separation from God on this earth. And sin will bring eternal death. Eternal separation from our God. So this just sounds like kind of a minor topic, right? Sin. Not that big of a deal. I mean, if we don't know much about it, it won't matter any. I mean, sometimes you go through school and there are those topics you need to get, right? You need to get the pluses and the minuses in school, because you're going to be using pluses and minuses for the rest of your life. That's a big deal. But in school, sometimes there's other things that, they're not that big of a deal. Right? Am I speaking the truth here? Is this one of those things that's not that big of a deal? If you get it, maybe or maybe not. No. Sin is a disease that is deceptive. It is a disease that is deceptive, that will destroy your life if you don't do something about it. If we stopped the sermon here, that'd be pretty depressing. It'd be pretty depressing to leave on a note that talks about sin in these 6 points to say, this is something that's absolutely horrible. But these first 6 points are to show us we cannot underestimate sin. We cannot underestimate the power that sin has in our life. And it's not something that we can just snuggle up with and say, I'll be okay. You won't be okay if you snuggle up with sin. But we also don't need to underestimate God. Final point I want us to see this morning is that sin is defeatable. You don't have to live with it. You don't have to keep it. You don't have to hold on to it. And it's not something that you can overcome by yourself, and that's why I want us to understand that we must not underestimate the power of God. If you try to overcome sin on your own, you will fail miserably. You can't do it on your own. But if you try to overcome sin in God's way and with God's help, you will triumph over sin to where it does not have any control over you. Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 12, do not let sin reign, R-E-I-G-N. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Don't let it have any control. Well, how can I not let it have control? Put your life in the hands of God. Let God help you overcome sin. Let God help you triumph over sin. Well, how can I do that? How can I defeat sin? First of all, I can only defeat sin if I have God's mindset, if I have God's eyesight, if I look at sin the way God looks at sin. If I look at sin the way the world looks at sin, no big deal. But if I look at sin the way God looks at sin, sin is the reason Jesus went to the cross. If the world was perfect and sinless, Jesus never would have died on the cross. He died on the cross because of S-I-N, sin. My sin and your sin. That's how God looks at sin. That's how big of a deal sin is to God, that it sent Jesus to the cross. And sin, S-I-N, is the only thing that will keep you out of heaven. That's it. It's the only thing that will keep you from heaven is sin. Why? Because sin separates us from God. And if I don't do anything about that separation on this earth, I'll be separated from God for all of eternity. Why? Because of sin. I need to see sin the way God sees sin. And if I will look at sin the way God looks at sin, I will want nothing to do with it. I will want nothing to do with it. We already mentioned Isaiah 1 and verse 6, where God looks at sin as a putrefying sore that you might have on your skin that never gets covered and never heals. That's what he says sin is like. The Bible says sin is like a dirty garment. Those of you who just got back from camp, if you were counselors, especially in the boys' cabins, you know what dirty garments are like if you've been in the boys' cabins at CFBC. That's about as pretty close to sin as some people want to get, is all of those dirty clothes in the boys' cabin. That's how God looks at sin. Is that appealing? He says, we want some more of that. Bring it on. No, we don't want anything to do with that. And that's why God says, get away from it. We mentioned 2 Peter chapter 2. God describes sin as vomit that a dog returns to. That's not appealing. If I'll see sin the way God sees sin, I won't want anything to do with it. And with His help, I'll be able to overcome. I'll be able to overcome sin and triumph over sin with God's viewpoint and with God's Word. I will never overcome sin if I don't get God's Word in my heart and get God's Word in my life. That's why David, Old Testament and New Testament, that's why David said in Psalm 119 and verse 11, "Thy word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." God, how can I not sin against you? Here's the verse. Put my word in your heart. And when you've got God's word in your heart dictating your life, is that going to cause you to sin? No way. And so John says in 1 John 2 and verse 1, "I have written these things to you that you may not sin." What's the Bible here for? To help us not to sin. And so on a daily basis, not a weekly, not on a Sunday morning basis, on a daily basis, I need to be reading it. I need to be studying it. I need to be taking verses and writing them out in my own handwriting. I need to be memorizing it. I need to be quoting it. If I'm going to overcome sin, that's how I'm going to do it. When Jesus was faced with sin in Matthew chapter 4, did He just pull out the Jesus card? When Satan came along and said, "Do this, do this, do this," and tried to get him to sin, did Jesus pull out His Jesus card and say, "Too bad, you're going to have to go somewhere else. I've got the Jesus card." The Bible says Jesus was tempted. How did He defeat it? How did He triumph over it? He had taken God's Word in the first 30 years of His life and had written them on His heart so that He wouldn't sin against His God. He had read it, studied it, memorized it, and when the devil came and tempted Him, He quoted it. Do I think I'm going to overcome sin in any different way than Jesus did? That's how I'm going to triumph over it. Look at sin the way God looks at sin. Look at sin coming at it with God's Word. And then understanding that if I'm going to overcome sin, I can only do it with God's help. I've got to have God's help. Help to overcoming sin is just a prayer away. How often when you are faced with sin do you pray about it? Jesus said to pray about it, didn't He? "Lead us not into temptation." Do you pray that? Do you ever ask God, "God, please don't leave me. God, please help me to not be tempted. God, please keep me away from that. God, please." Do you ever ask God to help you do that? "God, please help me not go down the wrong path." When we pray to God, we are pleading with Him to keep us on the right path, to keep us from giving in to temptation. When we pray to God, we're asking Him to help us to put on the armor of God. When you think about Ephesians chapter 6, and you think about all of those pieces of armor that God describes there with the helmet and the breastplate and the sword and the shield. You think about all of those pieces, but don't forget verse 18. Because verse 18, He lists the final piece of armor: praying always. If you think you're going to be able to defeat sin with all of those other pieces and you forget to pray, it's not going to work. But we can overcome sin with God's help. By pleading with Him to not lead us in the paths of temptation. By putting on the armor and praying without ceasing. Did you pray yesterday for God to keep you from sin? Did you pray on Friday for God to keep you from sin? Did you pray on Thursday for God to help you overcome temptations? The devil goes to work every day. He doesn't take a day off. He doesn't take vacation. He goes to work every day. How many days do I need to pray to God and ask God to help me to overcome the work that the devil is trying to bring in my life? And when I do, guess what God's going to do? He's going to give me the strength to do it. I can do all things through Christ who does what? Strengthens me. I go to God and ask for Him to strengthen me, and He's going to strengthen me, and He's going to provide that way of escape. He's promised to give us that way of escape in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. He's promised to forgive me when I fall short. When I do give into that temptation, He's promised me that He's going to forgive me every time I come to Him and confess it and ask Him to forgive me. Where are you in relationship to sin this morning? Have we underestimated it? We said, it's not that big of a deal. It'll be okay. I can overcome it. I'll deal with it later. Or do we need to see sin the way God sees sin? Do we need to respect what God says about sin? To make sure we do all that we can. Not to play with it, but to stay away from it. There were certain children in my neighborhood that my mom didn't mind if I went to their house to play. I could say, hey, I'm going down to Nick's house, and I'd go down to Nick's house. Be okay for me to go down to Nick's house. No worries there. But there were other kids in the neighborhood. No, sir. You're not going down there. You're not playing with them. We are not taking a chance. You are not going to have anything to do with them. Do we understand that when it comes to sin, this isn't somebody we need to go play with? This is something we need to draw a line and say, I am not going to cross this line, and with God's help, to be able to overcome it. Today's the last Sunday of July, which means that August is around the corner, and as we have been emphasizing this year, various themes for each month. We've been talking about 28 things we can do, spending 28 days each month and various things. I hope that you have enjoyed the month of July. I've enjoyed the month of July, 28 days of praying for one another, praying for 28 different groups of people in the church, praying through the directory, and I hope that you've done that. And by the way, just because some of these 28 days have passed doesn't mean you can't do them again. Or if you miss one, doesn't mean you can't go back and do it. They all fit any month of the year. But what can we do in August? August is a little bit different. And ushers, if you want to go ahead and start passing out the booklets, for the month of August, here's what we want to focus on. 28 days to triumph over sin. Do you have sins in your life that you need to overcome? I think every single one of us in here says yes to that question. And so the goal that is stated on the front of the booklet that you are receiving, the goal for this is to intentionally, consistently, and successfully, intentionally, consistently, and successfully, target a specific sin or spiritual weakness in your life, and with God's help, eradicate it from your life. The Bible says, and as you get these booklets, keep listening, please. The Bible says that sin is a disease. And I know this illustration is going to strike really close to home for a lot of you, and I don't want to upset anyone here. But probably the worst physical disease that we can think of today is the disease of cancer. And when you hear that word, it strikes fear, uncertainty, uneasiness. When you hear the word cancer. And while there are a number of treatments and effective treatments for cancer, and I don't want to go into all of that, But I do want to mention one treatment that's used for cancer that has been proven to be effective is radiation treatment. And as I understand, radiation treatment for cancer is that it is a treatment that targets right in on the cancer. And it focuses right in on those cancer cells. And not every time, I understand that, and I'm not trying to upset anybody this morning. But that radiation is zoned right in on that cancer and is repeatedly given to that patient to try to destroy that cancer. And I thought about that as we planned the month of August. Because what I think would be effective for us is to find the spiritual cancer, sin, to find the spiritual cancer in us, to do an internal examination, and to say, what is my besetting sin? What is the sin that's got me? What is the sin that is my, I just fall for it almost every time. What is it that's got me? And it's not going to take a long time for us to figure out what that is, each of us. We know what it is. But what if, and I doubt any of us have ever done this before, what if for 28 days in August, we apply a direct spiritual treatment to that sin? And for 28 days, we focus a God treatment on that sin that says, I got to get rid of this. And we focus in on that one sin, or maybe it's two. Maybe it's three, but I don't want you to make a list of 10. We're focusing in on one or two areas in our life where we are the most susceptible to sin. And what if you spend 28 days focused in on that area in your life and doing two primary things? We've talked about them already today. Doing two primary things. One, intensely praying about it. Not just praying for everything under the sun in general. Praying to God for 28 days. And you've got this on every page in here. God, please help me. God, please help me overcome. God, please help me not to give into this. God, please give me the strength. God, please give me the fortitude. God, begging God every day, multiple times every day. God, please, is that going to do anything? Is that going to make any difference? If you ask God to help you overcome it, is He going to be there for you? What if you prayed for 28 days, 5 or 6 times a day? What if in the next month you pray 150, 200 times? God, please help me overcome this sin. Specified treatment right on that cancer of sin. And then, not just pray about it, get into God's Word. Study what God's Word says about whatever you're dealing with. Find what God's Word says about whatever you're dealing with and do what Jesus did. Write it upon your heart. Get it inside of your heart so that when the temptation comes, you are able to quote God's Word back to that temptation. I don't know what everybody here this morning is struggling with. It's varied. I know that. But in the back of this month's booklet, on the back 9 or 10 pages, the back pages of this booklet is almost 100 different sins listed out with multitudes of verses about or for each of those areas of weakness. They're listed here for the primary purpose of not helping you necessarily to see that that sin is wrong, because I think we've got that. But these verses will teach that. But it's to help us to find the strength from God's Word to put within us to maybe find your verse. To maybe find your verse, your go-to verse That when you are tempted in a particular area, you've got your go-to verse that you have memorized, and maybe on the preceding pages in this booklet, maybe you have written out that verse every day. You know what writing something out 28 times will help you to do? Oh, it'll help you get it in your head, but even better than that, it'll help you get it in your heart. What if you write out that verse or verses for 28 days and you pray about it for 28 days and every time you're tempted to do it, you just quote that verse. You do what Jesus did. You just quote the verse. I'm not going to do it because here's what the Bible says. I'm not going to do it because here's what my God says. I'm not going to do it because I want to go to heaven to be with my God. Sin's not something we can play with. And it's certainly not something we need to underestimate. We need to take it seriously. But we also need to take God seriously and His power to help us to triumph over sin. As you look at these back pages, I know that they are not exhaustive. You might find them exhausting, but I know that they are not exhaustive. I know that there's something that's not on these pages. If you think of something that ought to be on this list, some sin that somebody is struggling with that needs to be on this list, would you give it to me? I would like to have it. I would like to add to this list for my own benefit. And then we will add it to the website and have all of this available on the website. You can go to, and if something gets added, we'll just add it there as well. Because there may be something you're struggling with. I'm not asking you to come tell me something you're struggling with, but something you know somebody else is struggling with that's not here. What does the Bible say about that? Where are some verses that I can use to share with my friend to help them to overcome this sin? God looks at sin so seriously that He sent His Son to die on the cross to bear our sins. He looks at it so seriously and He says it's the only thing that will keep us out of heaven. It is something that we must give our attention to. And how about for the next 28 days in August, we apply a spiritual radiation treatment to the besetting sins in our life. And we get them behind us. And we move on to serve God. Where are you today in your relationship with God? Are you in a right relationship with God today? Are there any sins that are standing between you and your God today? If you've never obeyed the gospel, if you've never given your life to the Lord, if you've never done what the Bible says to do in order to become a Christian, then you're still carrying around every sin that you've ever committed. Why carry those out of this building with you today? You've got other things to do today. You don't need to be carrying that load. Why don't you let the Lord take those sins away today? Why don't you let the Lord help you triumph over sin today? You can do that if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, Acts 16 and verse 31. But not just believe. The Bible says if you've got a faith in your heart, it's going to make you want to get away from sin because you know that faith led Jesus to the cross. It's going to make you want to repent and change the way that you're living. And so Peter said, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Let God take them away. He'll do it today. If you'll give your life to Him in Acts 3 and verse 19, confess the faith that's in your heart. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And you can do exactly what they did in the New Testament. You can be baptized this day. In order to obtain, Acts 2 and verse 38 says, the remission, the forgiveness of every one of your sins so that you have nothing separating you from God. You could leave here this clean as a newborn baby with no sin on your account, having the blood of Jesus taking that away, God adding you to His church, and God registering your name in heaven. If you have never been baptized for the remission of your sins, why don't you let God help you triumph over that sin today? Give your life to Him. Let the blood of Jesus wash away every sin. Perhaps you've already done that. Perhaps this day You're here as a Christian, but sin has been rampant. Maybe sin has just been in your life and sin separating you from God. You know, God calls upon us to walk faithfully with Him. In 1 John 1 and verse 7, it says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sin. If we keep trying to do what's right and live right, He keeps forgiving us. Two verses later, He says, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. Maybe as a Christian this morning, you haven't been walking that narrow path with Him. You've strayed away. You've allowed sin to reign in your mortal body. And you need the forgiveness of God and the prayers of the church. If we can help you this day to leave here today triumphing over sin, why don't you come right now as together we stand and sing.